Man, these young people are a blessing. If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8 and also Mark chapter 5. Matthew chapter 8 and Mark chapter 5 as we continue our study through the Gospels. Tonight we're going to learn about the demoniacs at Gadara. This account is found in Matthew 8, verses 28 to 34, Mark 5, verses 1 through 20, and also in Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through verse 39. And we'll kind of be bouncing around in those three accounts tonight to try to get the whole picture as God reveals to us. And we want to learn about how God has power over the devils today. Satan still has great influence in the world today. Amen. If you don't believe that, then all you got to do is go outside and look around at the world around you. Satan is the prince of this world. He has great power on this earth because in the garden, when Adam rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, he yielded over the dominion that God had given him to the devil. And when he yielded over that dominion that God had given him to the devil, he sinned against God. Mankind was cursed. The earth was cursed for his sake. The ground was cursed for the devil's sake. And everything in this creation that God had made that was good was corrupted because of sin. And the devil and those angels that followed him in his rebellion against God, and Satan was lifted up with pride and said that I will be like the Most High. I will be above God. I will sit on his throne. When he rebelled against God, he took a third part of the angels with him. We don't know what that number is. An innumerable host. And those angels, those fallen angels, are the devils and demons that we read about in Scripture. And they are active in the world yet today. And we're going to find in our text this evening that man has no power over the devil and his angels. Amen. There's nothing that man can do. That power is too great for us. But it's not too great for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And what is impossible for man is easy, is simple for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to learn that what seems impossible in people's lives, In the power of Satan in their life, we seems impossible to overcome by our ideas, by our power, by our imaginations. What seems impossible to us is conquerable through the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, that ought to encourage our hearts today. Because we see people's lives who are in the grip of the devil. Lives that are being destroyed by Satan, by sin, and God has the power to set them free. Amen. This is a great text tonight. If you're able, let's stand together. We're going to read here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. And just let me encourage you once again, if you take notes, that you write down these different references so you can go back and study these things out on your own. And let me encourage you, if you don't take notes, to start taking notes. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Our Heavenly Father, as we look into your word tonight, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds and give us understanding, wisdom, and knowledge tonight. I pray that we might know your great power, and Lord, that we might experience that power in our own lives, and we might see that power take place in other people's lives. Those whose lives are held in the clutches of the devil and his demons, that by the power of the gospel, by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, they might be set free. They might find forgiveness of sin, that they might find freedom from sin, that those who are dead in their trespasses and sins might be made alive unto you, Lord. through the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of your Holy Spirit. Help this church to regularly see lives transformed, set free from the power of the devil. Lord, as we go and proclaim the gospel and the power of the Spirit, Lord, please let us see your great work happen even today as we see it here in the pages of Scripture. Please help me now from nothing without you. Bless, Lord, convict our hearts and change us and use us for your glory. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We see the possession of the demons. We'll see the power, his power demonstrated. We'll see a plea for his departure. And we'll see prayer, a prayer to depart with him as we go through these scriptures tonight. Notice, first of all, the possession of the demons. Now, in Matthew's account, he said that there were two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And we look into Mark's account, Mark 5, 1 through 20, when they came over to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And Luke's account, in Luke 8, 26, we see that he mentions a certain man. So there were two men who were possessed with demons who came out, but only one of these men would be changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And only one of them, we see the account of his transformation by the power of Jesus Christ. And by the way, not everybody who has an encounter with Jesus has their life changed. Not everybody who hears the gospel is saved. Not everybody who has a good experience with God really gets changed for eternity. And there's a good lesson in this. Many times in Scripture, we see multiple people come in contact with Christ, and only some of them are changed eternally. We think about the lepers who met Jesus, and 10 were cleansed, but only one came back to give glory to God. Well, who was really changed in their heart? They might have had an outward change, they might have had a physical change, but that doesn't necessarily mean they've had an inward change, a heart change, a spiritual change. And friends, it's good for people to be healed of cancer. It's good for people to be healed of sickness. It's good for people to be healed of disease. It's good for people's lives to be changed outwardly. But what we really want to see happen is their lives to be changed inwardly by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what we see here. There were two men who came. These were possessed with devils, and we find out some things about them. It says that they were in the tombs. They were removed from society. They were removed from their family. They were removed from any kind of civility. They were out in the tombs, in the wilderness, in the mountains, and they were out there among the tombs, among the dead, and that's where they stayed. The devil, by the way, is obsessed with death. Jesus is interested in giving us life. The devil is obsessed with death. And by the way, where you see demonic influences in our world today, in music, in movies, and things, there's an obsession with death in our culture today. Movies about, TV shows about the walking dead, and movies and music that are talking about death and all of those things. It's no different today than it was back then. He had those who were under the influence of the devil. They were among the dead in the tombs. You notice that it says that they were exceeding fierce so that no man might pass by that way. In Mark chapter 5, in verse 3, it says, who had this his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. So I want you to notice in Luke's account in Luke 8 that this man had devils long time, and he wore no clothes. Just as a side note, people who are influenced by the devil today don't wear any clothes. It's summertime again, and people like to go out into public without putting their clothes on. And by the way, if that's your daughter or your son that's going around town without any clothes on, shame on you. And if I hear one more parent tell me that they can't control what their child wears, I might have to slap somebody upside the head. Amen. Who buys their clothes? Amen. Who puts a roof over their head? Who feeds them? Amen. Listen, you're not going to get any more food, and you're not going to have a place to live if you go in public looking like that. Amen. Problem solved. Amen. Amen? Amen? Listen, if your kids go around without any clothes on, It ought to be that they're sneaking and hiding from you. You ought not be approving of it. And while I'm on my soapbox, Lord help you Christian parents who let your daughters go around half naked and put pictures of it on Facebook like it's the most wonderful thing in the world. The one that was possessed with demons didn't have any clothes on. Godly people cover themselves up. Is that enough on that? Okay. I want you to notice that they were exceeding fierce. The Bible says that no man could pass by. Men couldn't even go where these demon-possessed men were. They couldn't even go by there because they were so fierce that they would attack people. By the way, the devil is in the business of putting men against men. He hates us, and he loves to see us fighting against ourselves. Wars and fighting among the brethren, you know where that comes from? It comes from the influence of the devil. He doesn't want unity. He doesn't want peace. He wants war. He wants fighting. He wants strife. He wants incessant arguments and problems. That's what he wants. And where the devil has his foot in the church, that's where fightings and strivings and backbitings and gossip, that comes from the devil. And so they couldn't even pass by. No man could pass by. And then no man could bind him. These people were so fierce, they were so violent, that they would chain them up with chains and fetters. But because of the demonic power that was in them, they would just break the chains off. There were no chains that men could bind them with that would hold these men together. They could not chain them. They could not bind them. No man could pass by. No man could bind them. And then it says that no man could tame them. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Listen, I don't know how many of you have been exposed to stuff like this, but I've seen young people in my life and in my ministry who like to get depressed and they like to listen to evil music and they like to cut themselves. You know where that comes from? It comes from the devil. It's the influence of Satan. He brings depression. He brings pain. He brings crying. He brings sorrow. He brings torment. And that's what these men were going through because Satan had control of their lives. No man could pass by. No man could bind them. No man could tame them. There was nothing that they could do. I can imagine the people of that city tried everything. I mean, they tried everything to calm them down and to get them under control. And I'm here to tell you today that demonic influences are real in this world today. And when we look into the scriptures and we see this picture, I want to tell you that there's no amount of medication and there's no amount of incarceration that can help some people. The only thing that can help them is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read this account, and you can see it in the lives of some people. And they desperately need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, always, night and day, in mountains and wilderness and tombs, crying and cutting themselves. And I want you to notice that it says, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. That's Mark 5 and verse 6. And in Matthew 8:29, it says, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Now, I want you to get this, because if you took these verses by themselves, you might not realize what you're looking at. It says that when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran to him and he worshiped him. Do you know what that means? When he saw Jesus a long way off, he ran to where Jesus was and he fell down on his face before Jesus. Now that sounds like a really good thing, doesn't it? And then it says, then he calls him Jesus, thou Son of God. And in Luke chapter 8 and verse 28, it says, he fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? Boy, doesn't that sound good? But it wasn't good. I'm afraid sometimes, this is absolutely true, that the devil has more faith, the demons have more faith and more knowledge of who God is, who Jesus Christ is, than a lot of people in churches today. The devils believe also. And you know what the devils believe? They believe Jesus to the point that they tremble. They don't believe just that Jesus was a good man or a prophet. He called him Jesus, the Son of God, Most High. Listen, they know who God is. They know who Jesus is. They know and they tremble, and yet they'll still burn in the lake of fire forever. Isn't that a terrible, terrible truth? Listen, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody that worships and says the name of Jesus will enter into heaven. Not everybody that even declares that Jesus is the Son of God Most High will enter into the kingdom of heaven. These devils profess those things, worship, fall down at the feet of Jesus, and they're going to hell. And there are people who will profess the name of Jesus, fall down and worship, and they'll still end up in hell. Why? Because we must repent of our sin and unbelief. And we must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart. That's where salvation is found. It's not in the words of our lips. It's in the repentance and condition of our heart. The power of Jesus is demonstrated. They said to him, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Now see, the devils don't know the time, but they know that the time is coming. In Matthew 25, in verse 41, Jesus said, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And make sure you understand this. The devil and his angels know that there is eternal fire. There is fiery judgment that awaits them someday. That they will be tormented forever and ever in the lake of fire. They know that that time is coming, but they knew that that time wasn't yet. And they said, you're not going to torment us now before the time, are you? What are you doing here? By the way, the devil may have a lot of power. He may have a lot of influence. He may be able to do a lot of things. But he can't do anything in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can't do anything without Jesus' permission. We'll see that in a minute. But you'll notice that they were surprised by Jesus' appearance, and they were terrified at his presence. In 2 Peter 2, and verse 4, it says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And listen, they faced judgment, and that judgment is sure to come. And so they were terrified when Jesus came, and they cried out, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. In verse 8 and Mark 5, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Thou unclean spirit. Now look down at Mark chapter 5 and verse 9. Jesus asked the demon. He said, he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him that he would not send them away out of the country. And in Luke 8, verse 31, he says, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. This man was not possessed by one demon. These men were not possessed by one demon. But they were possessed by many demons. And I want you to look at Matthew chapter 12 real quick and verse 43. Matthew 12 and verse 43. How is it that a man gets possessed by the devil in the first place? I don't believe that the devil enters into anybody unless that person opens them up to the devil in the first place. And I think that people open themselves up to the devil and demonic influences by a lot of things that they choose to do. When you rebel against the truth of God and the Word of God, and you open yourself up to the influence of the devil, you're inviting him in. When we give place to the devil, and we can give place to the devil by the movies that we watch. We give place to the devil by the music that we listen to. We can give place to the devil by the beverages we drink. Drugs and alcohol, I think, are one of the most sure ways to open the door to the devil. Amen. We can open the door to the devil by the friends that we keep. And there are so many different ways that we can open ourselves up to the devil. And when I keep saying we, listen, if you are saved, you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God, and you cannot be possessed by devils. But mankind, human beings who are not saved, can't open themselves up to demonic possession today by allowing these different influences, by rejecting the truth of the gospel, and by allowing themselves, especially through drugs and alcohol and music, all of these different things can open themselves up to invite the devil in. And I want you to see this truth in Matthew 12, in verse 43. It says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. I want you to see a principle here, friends. Whenever we're talking about demon possession, some people allow drugs or alcohol or whatever to take over their life, and somebody will say, you know what, I'm sick of this. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to clean up my life. I'm not going to mess with that anymore. Or they might find some kind of religion without a relationship with Jesus Christ. They might even try to go to church, but they never repent and trust the Savior. And they have religion. They have cleaned up their life, but they don't have Christ inside of them. And you know what will end up happening? They're going to end up worse off than they were in the beginning. Because they clean up their own life, and they straighten things up on their own, and they clean up their life. That's what Jesus said. It's empty. It's swept. It's garnished. Things look good, but it's only an outward cleanliness. It's only an outward thing. It's only a self thing. It's not God. Amen. They've never repented. They never trusted Christ. The Holy Spirit of God does not live inside of them. So that devil that left them, when he comes back, he says, man, this is nice. It's all cleaned up. It's roomy. Now there's some room for more of my buddies. So he goes and finds seven other spirits that are more wicked than himself, and he comes back, and now the man just doesn't have one devil. Now he has eight devils. And if any of you were honest, you know somebody who's tried to clean up their own life only to fail, and they end up worse off in the end than they were in the beginning. Amen. Why? Because they tried to clean their own life up, or they tried religion, and they never got Christ. Without Christ, there's no hope. Without Christ, there's no hope to be free from the devil. There's no hope to be really cleansed. There's no hope to have life. There's no hope to have power over sin. My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him that he would not send them away out of the country. In Mark 5:11, it says, now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. They perished in the water. So here Jesus comes. The demon-possessed men run and fall down and cry out to Jesus, don't torment us before the time. They look across the way, afar off. They see a herd of swine. There's about 2,000 hogs. And they are scared. Don't cast us out into the deep. Don't send us out into a far country. Let us go into the swine. Now, these demons, these fallen angels, pray and ask Jesus something. They have a prayer request of Jesus, and he grants their prayer request. And you say, well, why would Jesus do that? I don't know, but we can see the aftermath. Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, these swine were the people who were there. It was their livelihood. Now, the Jews weren't supposed to eat swine, but they were keeping swine, maybe for the Romans, maybe for themselves, who knows. But here's the deal. 2,000 head of swine was worth a lot of money. And if Jesus was no longer going to allow them to destroy these two men's lives, then they would hurt as many people as they could by destroying those swine. Listen, I guarantee you this. The devil and his demons have no purpose but to destroy your life. Whatever he does, his purpose is to destroy. Whatever he tempts to, whatever he makes look so good, makes look so irresistible, the end purpose for him is to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy this church. And so Jesus allows them to go. These many demons go into the swine, and as soon as they enter in, the swine run violently down and off of a cliff, and they die in the ocean. Now remember, there were herders there, ranchers, whatever you want to call them, watching the sheep and or watching the swine, and they see the whole thing happen. They see the men run over to Jesus, and they know who those men are. They're out there with the swine. You think they haven't had to deal with these maniacs, these demoniacs? They've had to deal with them. They know exactly who they are. They see him fall down at Jesus' feet, and they're wondering what in the world's going on. And they see him plead with Jesus, and you know that they could see him affirm. And the next thing you know, when Jesus says, go, these 2,000 hogs go running off a cliff and die in the ocean. And these guys see all of that go down, and they are terrified. We come to Matthew 8, in verse 33. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. Behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. But we go back to Mark 5. In verse 14, in his account he says, and they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country, and then went out to see what it was that was done. And I want you to pay special attention to verse 15, Mark 5:15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Now, here were these men who had tormented so many. Here were these men who had been tormented themselves. Here were these men who had been cast out of the city, been cast away from their families, had been out there in the tombs, had been suffering so much and caused so much suffering. Some of these men might have been the very ones that tried to chain him up and couldn't chain him up. And now he's sitting clothed and in his right mind, sitting in front of Jesus. And when they see all that's going on, they don't care about the man. All they care about is the hogs. They don't care about a man's life who's been saved. They don't care about a man's life who's been changed. All they care about is the swine. Matthew Henry said, there are a great many who prefer their swine to their Savior, and so come short of Christ and salvation by him. These people, when they see the work that Jesus has done, how that Jesus has changed a man's life, has saved a man's life, they don't care about the man. All they care about is the hogs. And they say, get out of here. Jesus, who has had the power to do what no man could do, they say, get out of here. And those, one day, we'll hear Jesus say, depart from me. That say to Jesus today, depart from us. When Jesus cast out the devils from this man, from these men, it had a dramatic change. Now, I think there's something to the fact that Matthew says there were two men, but only one of them is found sitting, clothed, in his right mind with Jesus. And the scriptures don't tell us where the other man went. But you have to wonder. Was he like the 9 lepers who were cleansed who went on and didn't come back to Jesus? Who just had a physical change, an outward change, but didn't have a heart change? I'm telling you, this man, this one man who had the demons cast out was changed dramatically by the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't just free from the tormentors. He wasn't just free from these demons. Now he was changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And while everybody of the city came out, everybody from the whole country around came out to Jesus. And when they saw everything that happened, they said, "Get out of here. Leave our coast. Go away." This man said, "Jesus, can I please come with you?" In Mark 5, 9, and verse 18, it says, "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." This man, when Jesus was going to leave, he said, "Lord, I want to go with you. Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, I want to go wherever you go." Now, that's the heart of a changed person. That's the heart of a saved person. They're not just disappeared, but they're changed, dramatically changed, and they want to go where Jesus goes. And friends, that's exactly the way our heart ought to be. This man who was naked and cutting himself and living in the tombs, now he's got clothes on, he's in his right mind, and he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Man, that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. When somebody gets saved, they ought to be clothed, they ought to be in their right mind, and they ought to love to sit at the feet of Jesus. When somebody gets saved, they ought to love the Bible. That's how we sit at Jesus' feet today, is by opening this book. The way we dress ought to change when we get saved. The way we act ought to change when we get saved. Everything about us ought to change. There was no doubt for the people of that country that this man had been changed. And when Jesus went somewhere, he said, "I want to go with you, but I want you to look." At verse 19, Mark 5, 19, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." In Luke 8, 39, he says, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And the Bible says, "And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him." Mark 5, 20, "And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." He said, "Lord, I want to go with you." And Jesus said, "No, you need to stay here and tell everybody what God has done in your life." And you know what he did? He went and he told everybody what God had done in his life. Today, we have no opportunity to physically follow Jesus, but we have every opportunity to follow him through his word. Amen. Today, we have a commandment to go and tell others what great things God has done in our lives. And we have every opportunity to do so. Have you ever looked at somebody's life and thought, "I just don't see how they'll ever be set free from what's got a hold of their life. I doubt that there's anybody here that doesn't know somebody personally whose life right now is consumed with drugs or alcohol, whose life is in complete and total control of the devil. How many of you know somebody like that? And how many times do we look at those people's lives and we say, "I just don't see how they'll ever get out of it"? Friends, when I look at this passage of Scripture, that's exactly what I see. Somebody's life is controlled by the devil. The demons have taken control of their life. The devil has control of their life. They're losing the battle with the sin and with the flesh and with the devil. And they are in complete control of the devil. And there's nothing that men can do. Man, we've tried rehab and and we've tried this program, and we've tried that program, and we've tried that medicine to try to turn it around, and we've tried everything there is to try. And it just echoes what the Bible says. No man could bind them. No man could tame them. No man could pass by. There's nothing that man can do. But there's a Savior who can change everything. You see, if they could ever hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, their life could be fully changed. And friends, we have the privilege to take the gospel to those people. You see, it was a terrible existence for those men to live in the tombs crying and cutting themselves, to be hated and despised by everybody in their country. But it is a far greater tragedy for people to end up in hell forever. And the only hope they have is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are the ones who have to take the gospel to them. This evening we're going to get ready for an invitation. Well over half of you raised your hand a second ago that you know somebody whose life is in the hands of the devil. He's gotten strongholds in their lives. Just well over half of you said, I know somebody that's like that. My question for you tonight is, what are you going to do about it? We're just going to shrug our shoulders and say, well, what can I do? Let me tell you what you can do. You can get on your knees and pour out your heart to God on their behalf. You can pray to God that He will set them free. And number two, you can faithfully share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, because He is the only one that can save them. He's the only one that can clean up their life. He's the only one that can make a difference. He's the only one that can have them clothed and sitting and in their right mind. He's the only one that can change them to the point where they're no longer the one who's being tormented, but they're the one who's going and proclaiming the gospel to others so that they could be set free too. So tonight, as we stand together, I wonder if you'd pray tonight for that one you raised your hand about. I wonder tonight if you might bend your knee and shed a tear on behalf of that one whose life is in the hands of the devil. I wonder tonight if you'd ask God for the courage and the compassion that you need to go and share the gospel with them. I wonder tonight if we'll be obedient like the demon-possessed man was when he got saved. When he was saved and Jesus said, go, he went. So what will your answer be while we sing what number?
Page 538.
538.